and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pearls. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Roland, tour director, is going insane already. All right, we're not supposed to say big names for tickets.
No, nope. You can't say
All I'm saying is Sexy Liberal might become a musical. I'm feeling super.
Oh, no.
A major composer wants to come to the Chicago show.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Good Lord.
I'm already a little excitable because it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Yeah, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Oh, yes.
Yes!
Maybe on ice. Maybe we could do six
of them
on ice.
Be quiet.
Maybe for the holidays we could do something.
Just like ice capades.
That's why no one comes to your Christmas parties, because you're terrible at surprises.
Furry costumes.
You ruin everything that's good. Quiet.
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hello.
You're why we can't have nice things.
I am why we can't have nice things. I've proved that over and over in my
Pete's
life.
For Pete's sake.
Good morning. I can have nice things like Jim Ward. Good morning, Jim Ward.
You're why we can't drive with hands-free cell phone devices.
I am exactly why.
What?
Wait.
She is? Oh.
Can we not anymore? What's the deal with that?
Oh, it's absurd.
We can't even drive with hands-free stuff now?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't yell at Siri while
I'm like
driving?
It's like zero-tolerance laws where, A student who brings a knife to school to cut her chicken is the same as someone bringing an AK-47. It's zero-judgment laws. Operating a laptop while you're driving is the same as using Bluetooth.
That's just I'm not going to stop talking to Siri, my personal assistant. You know why, Chris?
Why?
Because I need to get her to fire you again. Why?
Why?
Because you're kicking my girlfriend's ass at Words with Friends.
Oh.
I sure am.
Seriously, she's turning to me. She's like, fire him. He's kicking my ass. People get so psychotically competitive, Hal Sparks. Words with Friends. It's all
I know. I blame Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, yes. Me too. All right. Although I told the story, Hal, don't have the facts to back this up. I think I have the largest percentage of gay male flight attendant fans of any radio host in
the
country.
That's probably true.
Is all I'm saying. And
except maybe Michael Savage.
But he let my girlfriend play the whole way to Miami. He didn't care. All right. Ha ha, Alec Baldwin. All right. So, kids.
Really?
Wait. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, let's see, Yvonne in Chicago. Steph, my sweetie bought tickets for the two of us for our 24th anniversary for Sexy Liberal Show in March at the Chicago Theater. I cannot wait. You know what? It's the Sexy Liberal gift that keeps on giving, Hal Sparks. Beautiful stories of people buying holiday gifts, anniversary gifts, birthday gifts for each other. The gift of Sexy Liberal.
I'm feeling warm inside.
You know, this is kind of a rickety ship, as you know.
Yeah.
So this was supposed to be the official announcement, but I believe this is somehow it's seeped out before this. But we're very, very excited about our return to New Mexico.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
That's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque!
Albuquerque! Yeah!
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
All right. And some great pictures up from Fort Lauderdale. Go to sexyliberal.com and sexyliberal on Facebook. Oh, Deborah writes on Sexy Liberal Facebook, Hal. Sexy Liberal Show getting hotter. Hal Sparks has a baby. John Fuglesang's wife is pregnant. Is Stephanie and Lisa next? No.
Computer says
no. We hate babies. We really do. We were on Screaming Baby Airlines again on the way to Miami. Seriously,
says.
Two of them. Two of them, right? Yeah.
That's what everybody says until they don't.
Please. Anyone who has attended the show and left so sexy that sexy liberal babies were conceived, please post. Yeah, please. Let's see if we're causing a rash. Oh, dear.
Call David Crosby.
Yeah. We're procreating more and more sexy liberals. Mm-hmm.
I almost cut my hair. Yeah. Then I almost impregnated Stephanie Miller.
No, it's long. Go ahead. Do my eggs. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim.
That's adorable.
That's my big dusty eggs coming out.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yep. So Al Sparks,
yes.
Alan Grayson joined us. We gave to Grayson for Congress. That was our progressive call. First time we've ever given to a candidate, but that, you know. Do you know he has 3 Harvard degrees? I got to spend time with him after the show.
Whose are they?
Pardon me? Oh, Hal Louise.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I don't know. It's just a random joke. That had no bearing on anything. Relax.
Almost as smart as Rick Perry.
Yeah, but you know how he started, Jim? He was prosecuting war profiteers. Before he got into Congress, as an attorney.
What?
Yes.
War profiteers.
War profiteers.
Look, if you can't make money doing that, no wonder we have no manufacturing base in this country. If we
That's
can't
where
make...
he got the idea for the War is Making You Poor Act.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And you would know.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but what I was saying is we may have to adjust our focus because we are losing one after another comedy gold. So we may start having to give to these. Newt Gingrich, for God's sakes, is starting to... No, his lead is eroding. He's
no,
no.
Can't.
Just
Ron
when we
Paul
get one comedy, yes,
denial.
When we get one comedy binky, we lose it. Damn you, Herman Cain.
No.
Oh no, yeah, Newt Gingrich is fading already, and Rick Perry is all but toast. He's become
oops.
Yeah, he's just a big oops.
So disappointing.
And now a special holiday message from Governor Rick Perry.
I'd like to take this opportunity to salute our brave fighting young men and women now serving in Salinda. We can all debate whether it was a good idea to pull out of Uzbekistan and move into a country where Obama has spent over $500 trillion. But one thing is not debatable. I do not want to live in an America where the gays can openly serve in the military, but kids in school cannot pray because of the decisions of the 8 justices of the Supreme Court, including Justice Sotomayor. There's one thing I learned when I was sheep herding up there in Wyoming that one summer is that there can't ever be any gays in the military. America, I love you, and I love running for president, although sometimes I feel like telling this campaign, I wish I could quit you, but I can't. Keep fighting them in Salinda so we don't have to fight them over here. Have a safe and happy holiday season.
All right, Governor. Thank you, little dumber boy. Yeah. Hal, you're not here for a few days, and there you go. 3 more, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Rick Perry dumb moments.
I feel like somebody on the sick rotation or the injured rotation on a volleyball team. Like,
yeah.
If I'm not here to keep popping them up, they're just going to hit the sand.
Exactly. I don't even know where to start. How do you wear Heath Ledger's jacket in Brokeback Mountain and nobody tells you?
Right.
It's like it writes itself. You're doing an anti-gay ad in Heath Ledger's jacket?
I think he might have some staffers who
I'm telling you. There's a prankster stylist.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Marcus Bachmann in costume slipped through.
Yes.
Slipped through.
Barn coat is fabulous.
I know I'm supposed to be stopping him from winning, but I can't help it. His hair is fantastic.
No, that's the best conspiracy theory yet. Marcus Bachmann in costume slipped in because he's trying to help his wife, so he's like, this is perfect.
Da-da-da. I'm so devious that way.
And every other way, let's be honest.
I'm just going to make him dress as Mrs. Doubtfire for the next ad. Seriously, you have to do something rogue now. Something crazy.
Have to do a run-by fruiting. What I do every day in my spare time.
All right.
A run-by
fruiting. Or a flounce by.
Run-by fruiting.
Oh, Marcus. Yep, this is the... Oh, God. Just, you wake up, it's the comedy buffet that has been the Republican primary. Gingrich lead eroding in latest Iowa poll.
No!
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 Frankly,
it has eroded dramatically, actually, in the past week. Did I say this, Jim?
Wow.
This is going to be the latest cattywampusness. Ron Paul's going to win Iowa.
No!
That'd be great.
And then the whole party is just going to implode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yes. Gingrich is at 22%, Ron Paul at 21. But that's a 9-point lead, Gingrich, in the last poll. This is in Iowa. Mitt Romney at 16%. Newt Gingrich's momentum is fading in Iowa, said the pollster. The attacks against Gingrich appear to be taking a heavy toll. Attacks meaning, just Google him.
You think
people yeah. are like, oh, oh, that guy. Oh.
That guy? Get
oh,
out of here.
Crap, really?
I thought you meant a different Gingrich. You know what I mean? Like Bush wasn't the same Bush. Remember that? Remember that guy?
Seriously. My girlfriend's so young, I had to tell her. I'm like, she's like, oh, that guy. I was in grade school. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
She was in middle school. they gave out grades in the school she was in.
I see.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he's ahead still in the national polls, but David Bender always tells us don't matter if, you know, it may not mean much if he doesn't win in Iowa.
Well, he has no campaign infrastructure. There's nobody doing anything.
Yeah,
he's selling
these were all
books.
Like fake campaigns.
Right.
I think any of them could be Andy Kaufman. We just don't
right.
know.
At some point, they're going to grab a hole in their neck and just pull a mask
like
off.
Like in Scooby-Doo.
You know, I would have won if it wasn't for that Obama and his meddling
See, and I would have pegged that Donald Trump debate to be where it happened, where all the masks come off.
What Donald Trump debate?
It was going to be huge.
Oh, we got to talk about
huge.
That. We got to talk about that. Yeah, and I just, I never
Ratings
thought I would read
through
this.
The roof.
The pollster says it is Ron Paul who is now surging as the other than
not
Romney.
Romney, yeah.
See, not Romney.
Oh, that's great.
Ron Paul is the new...
Not Romney.
And he's the one that gets booed at every Republican debate.
Right. And his biggest problem
is... He makes sense half the time.
Well, he sounds like... They literally said he sounds too much like a Democrat.
Yeah.
This is his biggest problem in this field.
His advisors right now are going, just say the crazy... Don't say any of the other... Don't say the stuff that's true, like Reagan traded arms for hostages.
Good bit. We want permanent bases and soldiers in every country in the world. Pushing,
there's oil there.
Shoving crucifixes into the mouths of heathens. This is, look, we have the modern Republican Party. Repeat after me, Ron Paul. The modern Republican Party has the same foreign policy as the Crusaders. This is what we need. Find any brown person and give them a choice between a gallows and a crucifix. And,
all right.
And if they don't make up their own mind, flip a coin.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Hey, speaking of Judge SodaStream, we're going to be giving some soda streams out.
Yes.
Nice.
Can
I have one?
Today.
Do
yes.
I get one? Can
Indeed
I get one?
You can.
Am I the best caller?
So far, you're the best.
Thank
you're
you.
The best today.
Yeah, because nobody's called in.
Well, it's just you and Jim.
Don't.
And I already gave him one. Okay.
Oh.
18 minutes after the hour.
You gave Jim one? You gave me one? I want a soda stream.
Children?
No fighting. Don't fight over the soda stream.
We continue Hump Days with sexy liberal Al Sparks.
Oh, yes, we do.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller
and me. You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
Well,
welcome
not
back to
everything.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12 is our number. Somebody spilled wine on Steph, and we did not have carbonite. So she was, hi, welcome back.
I was talking to Rebecca.
Becky Stan, Stan?
I trust...
Like anyone would notice if I'm not here. Go ahead.
That's the spirit.
It's a Wonderful Life for me.
Yeah,
how much
really.
Better things would be if I had never been born.
Right.
Which is pretty much true.
Hey, Judge Bailey, you were getting alive.
My lips breathe. Bleeding.
My lips bleeding.
Susan's petals.
Isn't that great?
Susan's petals.
Did I
get burnt? My lips bleeding.
Did I get in a bar fight with Ann Coulter again? Crap.
Oh.
Why do you have to have so many damn kids?
Yeah, right. All right. 25
What was
minutes.
This one's name again?
Have to be. All right. Oh, every time Donald Trump talks, an angel gets its wings. This is just...
I thought they fell out of the sky, just like a turkey in a WKRP episode. Like bags of sand.
Yeah, Donald Trump, because you wondered how he was going to spin it, this pathetic disaster of a debate. And, of course, he's spinning it that it's because he's so all-powerful. That's why he's
so
going
huge.
To... He's going to have to pull out now, because not because no one was coming. I've decided.
It's kind of, you know what it is? It's kind of like you're standing there next to the dip. You've invited people to your party. It's 2 hours in, and clearly no one is going to show.
No.
And then someone knocks at the door. You just pretend not to be home. That's the Donald Trump methodology. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It wasn't tonight.
Yeah. No. I meant next Friday, dude.
Oh, God.
It was
stupid.
Awesome, though. See you next week.
Why do you have a whole table full of dips?
I really like every night? I like dip.
Some dude broke into my house. The dipper is out again. The dipper strikes again.
Gawker's headline is, Donald Trump's totally believable excuse for quitting his own debate. After every Republican presidential candidate except Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum dropped out of the debate, chronic mango-lacquered television ailment Donald Trump has decided to drop the whole thing. He's suddenly concerned about conflicts of interest, such as him running for president later on.
Sure.
Huh? Oh, boy. Did you hear this is his statement. The Republican Party candidates are very concerned that sometime after the final episode of The Apprentice on May 20th...
Oh, no!
In the first sentence, he got that in. When the equal time provisions are no longer applicable to me, I will announce my candidacy for President of the United States as an independent, and that unless I conclusively agree not to run as independent, they did not agree to attend or be part of the new... So, my God, leave it to him to make this all about him and his awesome success and power, and not the fact that he's a giant, clownish loser that nobody wanted
wants
to be associated
to hang around,
with. Therefore, so that there's no conflict of interest within the Republican Party, I've decided not to be the moderator of the Newsmax debate.
Mighty big of you.
Yeah. I must leave. Here's the best part. I must leave all my options open because, above all else, we must make America great again.
Right.
The only Donald Trump candidacy, so he must, for the sake of America, help.
He wants to, make Trump. America great again? Is he moving someplace?
Yeah.
You leaving the country?
Which is why I'm moving to Paraguay.
I'm canceling my show. We must make America great again. It's baby steps. The first thing I'm doing is taking The Apprentice off the air. Because it's just a moron exercise in useless television.
And Nudie, going right to the heart of most Americans' key concern right now, and that is Sharia law. Hmm?
Right.
It's time we had a national debate on this.
Yeah. Sharia
and
law.
One of the things I'm going to suggest today is a federal law which says no court anywhere in the United States under any circumstance is allowed to consider Sharia as a replacement for American law.
I see. So they're going to get rid of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, because those qualify.
All right.
Right.
Anything from the Old Testament, poof, gone.
Yeah. Since they're already unconstitutional anyways, I mean... What's the big deal, I suppose?
Mm. Oh, by the way, now Newt Gingrich has decided to be positive.
Now a warning?
Yeah, now it's...
Our determination to run a positive campaign...
Uh-huh. That's you, Mr.
And also
positive.
Indicating that should any super PAC that is doing so in my name attack any of my friends who are running, that I would publicly disown them and urge people not to donate to them, because I think we do not need that kind of negative influence.
Obama's a Kenyan socialist.
I just finished punching Romney in the balls.
Yeah, and he can't afford
yesterday.
Right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't believe there is a real Santa.
So that year I got a vibrator from Santa? That was really from Santa?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sex with Little Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I got me some soda streams I'm itching to give away. It's our special holiday giving season here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Isn't it, then?
Mm-hmm. Best call of the day, right? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Why, Chris? Because we've entered the holiday season where we most basically want to know, is it raining where you are? What's your favorite 70s song? Do you know? It's the time of year when everybody magically runs out of entertainment. And we go on a vacation next Friday for the holidays. So, you know, we're pretty much down to seeds and stems.
Yeah.
Oh, Margaret and Madison, this is how you can tell people have been listening for years. Because they know, can I have some holiday music? They know when it's the holiday season here on the Stephanie Miller Show, meaning we're pretty much running out of material and we're down to seeds and stems.
Uh-huh.
Margaret, officially too wrapped up in your show, Steph. Well, yes, it is raining where I am. Why? My favorite bread song is It Don't Matter to Me. Now, do you want to hear about my dangerous childhood toys? Love you way too much. Margaret and Madison, celebrating the season with the Stephanie Miller Show. We just start to get tired.
I'm finally in the Christmas mood now.
Are you?
For that.
Aww.
Just that.
Yes.
That did it.
Yep.
That little music sting.
Yep.
and the mention of a Bread song. I don't know what it was. This sort of magic combination. Oh, and Dangerous Toys.
Yes, Dangerous 70s Toys.
Not one of my biggest, my favorite 80s metal bands, Dangerous Toys.
That's a great name, though.
But, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're losing, speaking of comedy toys, we're losing all of them.
Oh, no. Actually, I got to say, it's more like we're refining to the more complicated. You know what I mean? Because the Herman Cain model, granted, we still have Santorum around. Yeah. And did you see him holding that sign that looked like it was written in Santorum?
Literally. Excuse me? Yeah. Like Sanskrit?
Yeah, no, he had
Santorum script.
Using Santorum to write to make a sign. It said Santorum for president, but it looked like it was written in...
Wow. You know what, Hal Sparks?
It was
just
vaguely brown and red.
Maybe
and
it was performance art. Maybe they were
on a
just
white.
Just because you've been such a good, sexy liberal boy this year, mm-hmm. and you've just gotten the Christmas spirit, we're going to play this Christmas special for you that you missed.
Aww.
Yes.
A family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hello, children.
It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy. I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix. But I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy.
Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock. Look at Frothy go. Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock. Just like a lump of coal.
That's disgusting.
Wow. Yeah, I did miss that one.
Yeah. I'm just to make sure you're caught up with things here. Stephanie Miller. All right. So, Nudie. He's already, his lead is already eroding dramatically, frankly, in Iowa.
Why? It's eroding, frankly, dramatically.
Why?
I think what we're about is too important to weaken anybody who might defeat Barack Obama and to give Barack Obama ammunition that he shouldn't have.
In other words, lay off me.
You mean like all the stuff that you've just been saying about Mitt
Romney? That's exactly it. Is the reason he can't, because he can't afford the same level of scrutiny he would toss on other people. And it's all in the area where social conservatives hate.
Yeah.
So he's got, and his main guy is Mitt Romney, who doesn't have any of those problems. You know, Mitt Romney, all his awful traits are things that the current GOP likes about him. The fact that he dismantles companies and moves them overseas and takes jobs away from the middle class. They want to give him the presidency is an award that a good portion of them would like to give Mitt Romney for doing just that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the whole multiple wives kind of thing, they have to pretend like they don't envy
him. He's suitably awkward around gay people, as evidenced by that impromptu visit with the soldier who turned out to be gay.
Oops.
Just the oops thought bubble in Mitt Romney's own. Of all the... Why did I have to pick the gay one?
They have those?
Of all the soldiers.
Is that legal? I had no idea.
When did that become legal?
Just the look on his face. Your husband.
I'm sorry, what? But how could that be?
So we have Frothy.
A man and his 17 wives.
Frothy, Nudie, and Mitty. By the way, there's another new video that's... Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
We should just call him Flippy, as in Flip Flopper.
They called him?
Flippy. Flippy has a new video uncovered. Shows just how much Romney's views have shifted. When he was campaigning for governor in 2002, Romney is on tape. Did you see it yesterday saying, I'm not a partisan Republican. My views are progressive.
Oops.
I think people recognize that I'm not a partisan Republican, that I'm someone who is moderate and that my views are progressive and that I'm going to go to work for our senior citizens, for people who've been left behind by urban schools that are not doing the right job. And so they're going to vote for me regardless of the party label.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear half of what he said over the sound of Glenn Beck screaming with glee and clapping.
Yes. Well,
I told you.
He's saying Newt Gingrich is too progressive. I mean, this is what's happened to this party. We were saying, you know, the other day, for people that keep saying, oh, there's no difference between the two parties, there has never been a bigger difference.
Yeah.
In fact, there's never been a bigger difference between who the Republican Party is now and who they even were 2 years ago. We're running Reagan ads as a way of saying, Reagan could not get nominated today. Can you imagine him in the Republican primary saying any of the stuff that he's that are even in these ads?
I'm not surprised at all, actually.
Yes, but that was the latest thing you were referring to. Glenn Beck says he would vote for Ron Paul over Newt Gingrich, and the party has officially.
Well, he said on Fox News on Judge Napoleon or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Judge Large forehead.
No forehead.
He looks like a Wookiee. There's entirely too much hair and no forehead.
Right. Not Chewbacca, though, one of the bad ones. Anyways.
Fuzzball.
Yeah. He said he would pull. Gingrich is the only person he couldn't, and I quote, pull that lever for, which is an interesting choice of words. Mm-hmm. But.
There's been much talk about the. Where am I reading from? Think Progress. Been much talk about the kind of Republican civil war between the establishment GOP and the Tea Party. That's what this whole. Primary's been about. This past weekend, though, Glenn Beck did something impressive. He managed to piss both of them off. he annoyed the establishment by saying they're filled with progressives, like Newt Gingrich. Oh, and so then he annoyed the Tea Party by saying, calling them racist, essentially, saying, well, the only reason you're going to vote for, Gingrich is because he's white.
Because he's saying there's no difference between Gingrich and Obama, which is amazing.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So then Gingrich said, if Gingrich got the nomination, he would consider voting for Ron Paul. Something, obviously, many people assume would give the election to Barack Obama.
Go figure.
Wowee. I'm enjoying the Civil War in the Republican Party, aren't you? Mitt Romney.
We aren't running any negative ads at that point, but we may. This is, after all, politics. There's no whining in politics.
Oh, boy. Okay. Except when somebody questions you on your
inconsistencies. I've got 20 minutes. I have 20 seconds.
This is a very unusual interview.
Do I get to actually speak? Do I get to speak? Anderson, and I'm done.
I'll say it again. This is a very unusual interview. You're talking about my record and asking questions.
I got to say, this is kind of rude. The whole thing.
This sort of thing is not done at the country.
Mm-mm.
No. Mitt Romney.
Just saying outrageous or incendiary things will get you a lot of kudos and drive your numbers up. But it's not going to win us the White House. And it's not going to win us the respect of people on the other side of the aisle that we have to bring together to overcome the extraordinary challenges we have.
I have to say, somebody did make that point. This is how mean this version of the Republican Party has gotten. They just like Newt because he's just nasty. They were saying, like, who can shove their fist farther down President Obama's throat?
Right.
He's just, they want someone that'll, Mitt Romney apparently too polite. They need someone, Mitt Romney.
The level of regulation in America, every year the regulators, the government, come up with new regulations, and they send them out. The rate of regulatory burden has increased fourfold since Obama.
That's not true.
Has become president. Four times the amount of regulation coming out per year as in the past. And so businesses say, gosh, I'm not sure I want to invest in that.
Where is he?
Love the liar, Canyon.
Liar, 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 Panthon. Whoa.
Where?
Liar
is
Canyon?
He broadcasting from Fukushima Daiichi?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It sounds like, we don't need to regulate uranium ore. I'm standing next to a pile of it, and I feel fine. These tumors are bubbling off of me like boiling cocoa, but still.
Why are your eyes bleeding?
That's completely normal, and we need to get rid of the FDA and the EPA because they're just,
Jim, thanks for pointing out that Mitt Romney.
You're a lying sack of crap.
That whole thing
you're
he just said.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
You can tell that's the Republican talking point.
Did
job,
I say four times?
Job killing,
I meant 400 times.
Job killing effects of regulations coming out of the Obama White House. You've heard this over.
That's 4,000 times.
Yeah, he said the regulations have increased fourfold under Obama.
Regulations aren't people, my friend.
Would you like the fun facts? The statistic has absolutely no basis in reality.
What?
In fact, it isn't true. According to the Romney campaign, Romney tried to make the same claim on NPR. They asked them the Romney campaign for verification, at which point they said the governor misspoke. Instead, the Romney camp told NPR the new regulations under Obama are twice what they were under President Bush. Trouble is, also not true.
Oh.
Obama actually had 4.7% fewer regulations than George W. Bush had.
What?
Romney claimed, according to an official government report, regulations cost the U.S. economy $1.7 trillion annually. That number, according to economists, also.
False.
Made up.
Pulled out of his ass. Wait a minute.
Pulled out of his magic underwear.
Yes. I think that this is a progressive plot to make stuff up. I have no...
Oh, what's that bit?
Ouch.
Yummy.
That's a big lie.
Yeah. That was tough to get out of there after I had to talk to that gay vet because it had snapped shut, and I can't believe anything else has ever come out.
Before he continued with the interview, he had to crowbar his head out of his butt. Yeah, I'm out. What happened while I was gone?
45 minutes after the hour, I'm back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Prince?
No!
Thank you.
Honey, I know! Ain't nothing wrong with your ears.
It is me.
There's certain Prince on. He's written so many songs.
Do it again, do it again.
Sounds like a balloon animal.
Yeah, exactly, a balloon animal. He's written so many songs. He just started writing songs for dogs at some point.
It is like stepping on a teacup poodle. Yeah, it's stepping on a little teacup poodle. That's what it is. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, heavens, I'm sorry. Got your little paw. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, this is just, you know what? Things just not going well for our friends on the right.
No?
The birthers, crazy birthers over at WorldNet Daily flew a banner over Cowboy Stadium asking where's the real birth certificate.
Oh,
thankfully,
yeah.
The 90,000 plus fans weren't able to see it. The embarrassing display, the stadium's closed retractable roof.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's a waste of a crazy banner.
Oh, that's rough.
See, the president makes sure that there is a roof on the stadium. So
with his weather machine.
See, like that was a coincidence, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, President Obama.
But we're going to have to fight for it. It's not a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm. He did say, we're going to win this thing.
Although...
It might be a field goal.
Newt Gingrich is a little bit of a Washington general. I'm just saying. All right.
We are going to win this thing.
Meadowlark.
We are going to win this thing, and America's going to win as a consequence. All right?
Yay! Happy. Oh, Hal, we had the woman on yesterday that wrote that great editorial in the L.A. Times apologizing to President Obama. Yeah, you know, she unfortunately has third stage cancer and the pre-existing condition clause kicked in. She's able to get insurance because of the president's health care bill. And anyway, but, you know, it was a lot of the points that we've been
saying the whole time.
To our bullhorn.
I know.
Well, wait till she runs up against the death panels.
Oh, wait, they don't exist.
They don't. Yeah, that was a... farce. Actually, I think it was Romney's campaign that was sort of basically promoting that. They were basically saying, yeah, some people are just going to have to be denied care in a free market system. So, and that will be the choice of the insurance companies. Well, that's a private death panel. Arguably, if you have death panels, you'd want them to be public because then you could go, that guy makes the wrong decisions. I notice there's a lot more brown people on his death list. but they just want, you know, the idea that, you know, well, you know, let's let Big Pharma do it. They can make, they know who's sick and who's healthy and who's a keeper.
I don't know if you read this editorial. There's a lot of points that you've been making for the last year that this was going to kick in now, you know, right before election year.
Time.
And she apologized. Yeah. She was somebody that campaigned for Obama's, you know, and was like, I'm sorry, I didn't read this. I mean, it's like listening to the talking points. Like, oh, he caved, which is, we hate that word. I hate it. He didn't.
To you, Fuglesang. Calling you out. I love you, man, but knock it off.
Caved so many times. There's got minors
I'm going to saw my feet off the next time I hear that joke. And I love him, but for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
But our point is, this was in this editorial. All of the stuff we've been trying to say that you know, people that said, look, they didn't get civil rights done overnight. This really was paving the way for the kind
of, that's,
you know,
exactly why the right has been flipping out. The left keeps going, why are is the right wing mad about this stuff? It's just a giveaway to insurance companies. This is stuff they want because they never expected it to actually happen, and they know it lays the groundwork for what we want to accomplish, and it scares the crap out of them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Just like every new Supreme Court justice does exactly that.
And how you said this, that this is why they were going nuts, because they knew this stuff was going to start kicking in.
Right.
And once you give it to people, you're not going to take it away. What, really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all running on repealing health. Really? You know, people with pre-existing conditions get thrown off. You know, your kids get thrown off your insurance now after they've been on it.
Can't wait to see that in the debates.
Yeah.
Totally.
With
Obama. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You want to rescind that?
Yeah,
you want to have all these people die to make a political point.
A million people in the last year, a million people who didn't have insurance now do.
The president yesterday.
If you don't falter, if you stay steady, we are going to win this thing.
She was one of the people that changed her bumper sticker to "Got Nope," and now she's changed it back to "Obama Cares." Thank you. Oh, one at a time, Hal. I swear, we only have one, megaphone.
And I know.
We've been talking people off the ledge.
Step away. The nice thing is it's starting to shift quite
yes.
a bit. Yes. Yeah.
Well, for all the reasons we said.
Right.
The whole, he's never going to, he lied. We're never getting out of Iraq.
Oh, wait a
we're
minute.
Out of Iraq.
Right.
We're out, he said, and we,
you
okay.
Watch summer with Afghanistan. That's all I'm saying. Next summer, When soldiers are coming home, you want to talk about an October surprise?
Oh, man, yeah.
Families seeing
parades of homecoming
for Pete's
soldiers.
Sake. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. It's saluting the president.
Yep.
Wow.
That's an October surprise that's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my October surprise. I'm going to keep a campaign promise as quickly as I can, and I'm going to get these guys home and these women home and as safely as we can. And you're going to have to watch it happen in the month before the election, as opposed to this, October surprise where, Reagan would give, I don't know,
kept
guns to our enemies.
Well, I kept the hostages.
There.
So that Carter wouldn't win a political victory.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, and the other thing we've always said is I don't get how people think he tricked you. He's doing everything that he ran on.
Right.
It's not like, you know.
But, if he does have a parade with all the soldiers saluting him, Fox News will say, oh, what do you think he is, Brezhnev?
Right. Yeah. This is like
that's
Stalin.
That's communistical.
This is like Stalin.
Didn't we already play something like that?
The troops.
That's in right-wing world yesterday. Like, should he be talking to the troops? Like, who does he think he is, the commander-in-chief?
Right.
Why is he talking to the troops?
Is he the civilian leadership or something? I don't know.
And on the other side,
he's black.
What?
On the other side, we have, of course, Newt Gingrich. Gawker's headline is, thanks for the image of Newt Gingrich's filthy monkey butt, David Axelrod.
Oh, yeah.
David Axelrod, the sterling metaphor today regarding Newt Gingrich's anus, something we'll see more of as the primary season lingers on.
I hope not.
David Axelrod said, a bit of homespun wisdom I got from an alderman in Chicago some years ago. One of his colleagues wanted to run for higher office. He was really dubious. He said, just remember, the higher a monkey climbs on a pole, the more you can see his butt. So, the speaker is very high on pole right now, and we'll see how people like the view.
Boy, there's an image I really didn't need.
I know. Mm-hmm. None of us did. But it's true. That's why
his
lead is eroding already.
Someone has to be Newt Gingrich's proctologist.
Oh, yikes.
Oh.
Yikes. Wow, thanks for that. So the other, here's their other issue, is the deficit. Oh, dear. 2012 federal deficit shrinks.
What? Damn it!
But the Republicans haven't even presented a bill to do anything about the deficit yet.
No.
It's not supposed to shrink until their magic free market plan goes into where Dow Chemical and some multinational unnamed corporation makes it smaller by smiling.
We'll talk about all of that as we continue Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. The
Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Vulture's Picnic, the new book by the man Catherine Harris calls Twisted and Maniacal. That'd be Greg Palast.
Awesome.
You must get Greg Palast's Vulture's Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com.
Thank you, Jim. Six minutes after the hour.
And wear a fedora when you're reading it.
Yes, please. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. I got a free soda stream machine for the best caller today. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. And then, you know, the corresponding Twitters and Facebooks and
whatever
social media type situations. All right. Let's see. We are thank you for Lauderdale. We love you.
Yes.
Big year end party with Alan Grayson. We had in last Saturday. Love ya. And Portland coming up next in January is our very first show in 2012. Then we got Philly. And it goes on and on and on. In fact, oh my God, look at this. Who is this from? It's a sexy level. Hang on. Dave in New Hampshire. Steph and the Mooks wanted to share my excitement. My awesome wife of 2 years, Beth, just bought us tickets to the Sexy Liberal Tour at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on June 9th. She's a planner. I love streaming your show while on my BlackBerry, even though the Stephcast is very reasonably priced at $4.95 a month. And makes a great Merry Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa gift for that special someone. Why, thank you, Dave. Can't wait to see you guys in Boston. Don't suck. Ooh, yikes. Okay. P.S. I attached a picture of our puppy Bailey swimming in the pool. Look at Bailey swim. Go, Bailey. What? Bring him to the show.
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank
you,
kids.
And there was a bit of a song from Boston in there. Did you catch that?
Shot. Huh? Thank you, Shano. Thank you, Danielle. They were at the Fort Lauderdale show, all part of the magical, sexy Deborah family. All right. Someone has an idea for you. Oh, because you know, Hal, have we mentioned we've been nominated for several awards, including Best Tour of 2011. Lady Gaga's going down.
So why you turned into...
I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't seen your show, but I hear it's wonderful.
Fabulous. Oh, fabulous. Wally would like the... Oh, this is some listener comedy, I guess. Oh. The annual 2011 Steffy Awards. Hi, Steph. In keeping with the end-of-the-year awards show spirit, as evidenced by the Sexy Liberal Tour being nominated for a slew of awards for Best Tour and blah, 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 I want to propose our own awards. I suggest we call it the Steffy Awards. Best Listener-Provided Material. I nominate Mike and Raleigh for the Chipmunks' Sexy Liberal Time is Here. People can't get it out of their heads. It's on that fine line between cute and irritating.
Irritating, boys.
Yeah, exactly. Best right-wing love muffin, Jerry in Chicago, who we haven't heard from in a while.
Yeah.
Jerry, call. I've got a soda stream for you. Best regular caller male, Buddy from Columbus. Best regular female caller, Mary from Long Island. I agree she should have her own show. I think we all agree.
She can talk and talk and talk and talk and never
talk,
even breathe.
And also, Jim Ward deserves his own category and award. I suggest we call the Voice Deed Award. It goes to the best Jim Ward impression. I nominate K to the J to the in the double hizzy. Most inspiring call, I forget his name, but he's the official funny black guy of the Stephanie Miller Show, and it was when he called right after the president released his long-form birth certificate. I cried, too, when he broke down and started crying, and I really wanted to kick Donald Trump in the balls. Oh, well, who doesn't? Okay. Wow. I can see being able to remember...
I shoved them up in my body like a sumo wrestler, because they're huge. They're too big of a target.
I can see being able to remember almost the entire year of the Stephanie Miller Show means I really, really need to get a life. But it should also be noted I'm a podcast survivor for 95 and one ding. Okay, fine. Thank you, Wally. Thank you. We've just awarded the Stephanie Awards. Brian, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, you made an interesting point this morning. We've talked about how Obama has driven the Republicans to the extreme right, where he's taken off the things they normally use to hammer Democrats on, defense, taxes, mandates, whereas independents, like you were saying earlier, might say, well, there's no difference between the parties. But the Republicans have to be different to win in a primary. Mm-hmm. And so he's driven them so far to the right that this morning you have the Republican, Ron Paul was talking to a group of supporters, and they're cheering the fact that he wants the FDA to stop mandating that farmers pasteurize milk. So he wants us all to drink raw milk. I mean, so right. so what happens? What happens when how the Democrats? Some of the Democrats were saying, "Oh, Obama's he's gone too far to the right." What happens when in the general election he runs to the center left? You see how big that gap is going to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the interesting thing. I was thinking about that this morning. Was that Ron Paul, if were he to be the nominee, would actually push Obama much farther to the left.
Right.
Exactly.
More so than almost any other candidate. Now, Gingrich is saying all these Tea Party things. He doesn't buy for a second.
It's going to be a long crawl back to the center. I mean, you're going to have no credibility, whoever the Republican candidate is.
And that's their base. They have no room to move whatsoever.
Brian, you get a free soda stream. What do you
Look
think
that.
Of that?
Hey.
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. Hang on. Hold on.
Put bubbles in your raw milk.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
You can have carbonated
Some
raw milk.
Some pasteurized. That's, I mean, Ron Paul really does believe, like, as far as environmental issues go and corporations go, that they'll go, well, a couple of people will be poisoned and then nobody will buy from that company anymore. What? And that companies have, you know, that's in all their areas, in all their, like, in all their, you know, environmental poisoning elements. Well, just nobody will buy coal from from that company anymore because they're dumping arsenic into the water.
I think maybe buying raw milk should be an option, but you should do it at your own risk, and there should be a warning label.
Yeah, skull and crossbones.
Well, you know, I think that's a little...
Yeah, but what, do you want the government putting warning labels on things? You want the government actually regulating I mean, that's what Ron Paul will again advocate. Once you get to the point where you can buy unpasteurized milk, if that's what you want to drink, you also will have the same guy going, we shouldn't have any kind of markings on a product that a corporation doesn't want to put on. So welcome to, you know, cherry cigarettes are good for your kids.
Corporations are people, my friend, and you're hurting your feelings by making them put things
P.S.
on their
Cheetos
bottles.
Have vitamin C. That's why they're orange. Enjoy.
All right, kids.
Chicken tartare with sun-dried mayonnaise.
Exactly.
At your own risk.
The Republican homophobe reparative therapist, they are going to use this story, Hal, at the next Republican debate. Gawker alerting, a separating gay penguin duo, Pedro and Buddy, turned them straight. You see?
Wow.
Remember Pedro and Buddy, the gay penguin couple?
Tried that with Marcus Bachmann.
That the Toronto Zoo was going to separate so they could mate and then reunite. Well, it looks like their love won't last, being shoved into the closet by zookeepers. Looks like both of the boys have settled down with a lady and are getting ready to mate.
Love ain't here to stay.
Produce offspring, just like a good man is supposed to. But now they're not lovers. It seems they're fighters. The two even got in a brawl recently over territory. So now they're really manning it up. They're butching it up now.
Yep.
Gawker writing, thanks, Toronto Zoo, for ruining gay love for everyone. Thanks a lot. And now you've given the Republicans fodder.
Wait a minute. So gay penguins, when they are forced through isolation to be in heterosexual relationships, become violent and anti-gay?
Yes.
That is so weird. How did that?
Weird.
Wait
like
a minute.
They become Republicans.
What is? That's so
that's
curious.
So weird.
That's funny.
And then they make anti-gay ads wearing gay jackets.
Right. I'm sorry.
I can't believe we're allowed to have gays serving openly. What? I'm wearing a coat again. Damn it.
I'm taking a break from lying on top of my campaign advisor.
Couldn't be any better than if, what's his name, Jake Gyllenhaal just came and just started stroking the corner of the check.
Right.
Who is that? Okay. All right. Hal Sparks, baby maker. Gawker also telling us that even babies can tell you're full of...
Yeah, that's true.
They've done the baby study. Gawker writing, you know, you spend every minute of your waking life desperately afraid that you'll be found out as a laughable fraud and all your accomplishments discovered to be built on a foundation of luck and lies. Well, as it turns out, even babies can now tell how unbelievably full of you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is your next one because you have a baby. You won't
babies
this funny.
Are full of it, too, until they're not.
Yeah. Gawker writing, babies who are the dumbest possible type of human being that exists love to copy things that adults do because they're too stupid to realize that adults are huge morons. But even babies can tell which adults are unreliable, adults like you, and refuse to imitate them. So they did a baby study. 60 babies, in the first group, unreliable, quote-unquote, experimenters looked inside a container while expressing excitement and invited the babies to discover whether the box contained a toy or was empty. For that group's experiment, the box was empty. The second group had reliable experimenters, so when the babies looked in, there was a toy in the box, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Or Charlie in the Box or something.
Whatever.
Try to follow.
Nobody wants the Charlie in the Box.
In a second,
no child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
In the second imitation test, each baby again observed the same experiment they looked at during the box exercise. This time the adult used her forehead instead of her hands to turn on a light. Like most Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And like Rick Perry. The experimenter then watched to see whether the infant would copy the behavior. The results show 61% of infants in the reliable group imitated the irrational behavior using their foreheads to turn on the light. And all of them are now the front runner in the Republican. By contrast, 34% of the infants imitated the unreliable testers. So babies know you're full of which I think Camden already does because he.
Yeah. Well,
you've told me that. I mean, Camden does seem like the smartest child alive, I must say.
He is.
A, he's yours, and B.
Yeah. He's well raised by myself and Shelley to be able to spot BS when.
he will need that in Hollywood.
He's full of it.
Politely suspicious child. He'll smile.
Yeah.
He'll smile at someone going, "Yes, I understand. You think you're adorable. Please leave me alone.
Go away now."
Yes.
Speaking of babies, I have a great Newt Gingrich quote here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In Washington, D.C., 800 babies are left in dumpsters a year. Frankly, he said it was not 800. It was 4, which is a multiple of 2. But it was a little.
This is a guy who wants to run the economy?
Mm. Yeah.
Not right. Good at math, no. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, we do.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, go ahead.
Stephanie, you just asked me if I can make this into a bump. We have had this bump for years and years and years.
Wasn't this my drunk dial? You know, I just put my iPod. It's pink.
No.
Get this party started. You know, we have to make
started.
A bump out of that.
I actually put it together of my own volition.
Really?
You did not ask for it.
Am I here every day?
You know what?
No.
Sometimes I think that if
even
you don't...
Even when you are.
Sometimes you think that if you don't ask for it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. It didn't happen unless I said it.
Exactly.
Well, in a kind of Tony Robbins think and grow rich kind of thing in life. That's
I was right
true.
That we don't have raise your glass yet.
Right.
Yeah. So don't get fancy. Just get dancy,
oh, God.
Mister.
Don't ever say that again.
What?
Get on that. 1-800-STEP-1-2. That's part of raise your glass. You know, pink. Raise.
No.
You know, coming on. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Hey, this hour brought to you by Carbonite, everybody. I can't risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up all that good stuff in your computer whenever you're connected to the Internet. Couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie.
Han Solo not included.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Hello, Scott and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to thank Scott Walker, who said, remember the guy who said he was going to cut spending and cut taxes?
Yes.
Well, I just got my state property tax bill yesterday, and the state was up over 5%, the village was up over 5%, the
school
district was up over 6%, and the
thank you, Winker.
County was over 8%, and my total tax bill went from $2,800 to over $3,000.
So he's
well, at least you still have your collective bargaining right. Oh no, you don't. Oh dear. Yeah, mm-hmm. What's your feeling on the recall? How's it feeling? Because I'm hearing great energy from Wisconsin.
Well, I heard last night on the news. I don't know how accurate it is because it's a little too early to tell. But according to Channel 15 News in Madison last night, the GAB will be counting and upwards of 1.5 million recall signatures.
Wow. Scott, good for you.
Not only against Walker, but some state senators as well. But realize one thing.
Walker won last time with a total of 1.1 million votes, okay?
Yeah.
So if we're getting 1.5 million, I think we're going to send him a pink slip.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Scott. You know why? The Sexy Liberal gave money to recall Walker.
Yeah.
Everything we give money, marriage equality in New York, everything we give money to.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Yeah. We just gave to Grayson for Congress.
Yeah.
Somebody should be a little scared down in Florida.
Yep. But we're saying that, like, if he gets in a safe district, you know, a Democratic leaning district, forget about it. Because
Did you see, by the way, we're backstage and we hear this, like, rock star cheer. And Fugelsang's like, what? Did the show start? What's happening? Alan Grayson just went to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Grayson just walked into the theater. That was it.
Wow.
That was just Alan Grayson sitting. That was it. Wow, he did that great. Wow. Yeah.
9.5 from the East German judge, even.
Yes.
Woo.
I think the East German judge is holding out for Gingrich. Yeah. Gingrich.
By the way, some bad news out of Wisconsin, however. Yesterday, the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit struck down a Wisconsin law limiting the amount an individual may contribute to corporations and other independent groups seeking to influence elections to $10,000. Another Citizens United. That's why elections matter. That's why the Supreme Court matters.
So a corporation is a person, let's just say.
Yes, my friend.
And a person can only give $2,000 to a candidate. Why should a corporation be any different then? If you're specifically saying money equals free speech, somebody else shouldn't be welcome to more free speech than
super
somebody else.
Persons. Thanks for asking.
I watched that clip again yesterday for some reason. They were airing the Mitt Romney. Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, his point. He's like, corporations are people. Where are the profits? Where do you think the profits go, my friend?
So corporations should be able to go to prison.
The person yelled in their pockets, and there's like, no, my friend, in the people's pockets.
Oh, it's
like,
God.
No, that's exactly what this whole movement is about, is corporations are pocketing all the cash and outsourcing the jobs or firing people.
When corporations break the law, the entire corporation should go to prison.
Right. Then. Everybody. Last I got from the CEO to the janitor.
Right.
Everybody goes to jail because it's not like, okay, you're going to jail for a murder, but your feet can stay outside.
Yeah. Even your 5-year-old janitor.
Yeah.
He's going to jail. Chuck in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
My wife and I were at Sexy Liberal on Saturday in Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
Fourth row, which was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. It was great.
Awesome.
And all of you killed. Our sides are still hurting. And I don't want to spoil anything, but Hal Sparks T-Rex.
Yes.
Oh, it's great.
Forget about it. Oh, my God. I mean, Hal, it's really a good thing you don't do drugs because, damn, okay?
Right.
Listen, I'm on the tour with him. We've done, 20 shows? I still am like, don't talk to me. I got to watch the T-Rex.
T-Rex is, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
All right, you can't spoil it because you got to see it.
Yeah.
It's a physical thing as well.
Right.
I'm like, don't talk to me. I'm watching Hal T-Rex.
I did the koala bear just for your girlfriend, too.
I know you did. You're so hot. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks.
You're a good woman.
Stephanie Miller.
Perhaps you won't burn in hell after all. Maybe you just go to purgatory with all the unbaptized babies.
Is that Charles Durning?
It is the Stephanie Miller. Oh, yeah. Lawrence writes from Massachusetts. During this bumper he just talked about, an individual is heard saying unbaptized babies go to purgatory. Actually, until recently, the doctrine promulgated by the Roman Catholic Church was that unbaptized infants went to limbo. We've had this Catholic school argument before.
Here's the problem. Until recently, like you're going to change or create entire sections of the afterlife?
By the way, not the game with the bar. Low can you go, limbo? It was another word for purgatory.
We've been getting a lot of questions lately, and we all got together and came up with a BS answer that will cover our butts for the next 100 years.
No one's ever been able to tell me why I couldn't eat meat on Fridays in the 70s. I don't know what that was about.
Because it was the easiest way to ration it. Because you can't ration it if you go, don't eat, we don't have enough meat for everybody to eat every day.
Right, but then when they said it was okay, what happened to those people that ate it before it was okay? Are they in limbo or purgatory?
Who cares?
Limbo and purgatory are made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like the multiple levels of hell.
Don, well, World War II, there was no more meat on Tuesdays. So if you're Catholic, you're screwed. No meat on Tuesdays or Fridays.
Yeah, again, it was just a way of rationing. If you tell people, don't eat meat, you're running out of, you know, meat.
All I know
they'll
is
go,
I eat,
but
I,
I'm starving, the hell with you. But if you tell them God hates you for doing it, then they'll stop. And that was the whole point.
That's, all I know is I ate my weight in fish fries in the 70s on Fridays, and I've never eaten fried fish
so
since.
Explains so much.
Okay. I don't know what that means, Hellspark.
So if you have a bite of meat at 11:59 and 30 seconds on Thursday, and it doesn't hit your stomach till 12:10,
Who knows?
In your gut.
You know what? We're going to have to save all this for Comedy Jesus on Friday.
Yeah.
Liz and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Liz. Steph. I feel like I'm in limbo right now because of what's going on with my recall.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention one thing. The caller earlier had mentioned about the signatures gathered, and that's awesome. I think that there's a couple of things to think about is that Scott Wanker has issued Department of Administration regulations saying that protesters in groups of four or more need to submit a permit, and therefore they are responsible and liable for any damages or police officers.
Four?
Yeah, right. You have to pay for it. You have to pay to get a mace now by the police at a protest. Yeah.
Right. There's a macing surcharge.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So there's issues. The limbo is, you know, there's no free speech now in Wisconsin. It's ridiculous.
The First Amendment does not apply in Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
You're back to the German-American Bund.
And Scott's doing his best to generate more and more on the recall because when he does actions like this, it just motivates people even more to get out there and get the signatures.
Well, for, a lot of people.
I think just seeing his dumb face on TV motivates people.
Oh, man.
Why does he look like he's just been hit with a giant plank every time, right before he gets on television?
Because he has. He's
shocked.
Because
he's a weasel.
Maybe
he
should be.
He's not a badger. He's a weasel.
And you guys are the honey badgers.
Yeah. Don't mess with us.
Yeah,
he's
honey badger.
Literally, this guy is shocked that his plans, that his concepts of government are unpopular.
What?
He can't. These guys can't wrap their heads around.
Listen, I mean, he looks a little cross-eyed and a little just like, that little, ooh, wow. Who knew that wasn't going to be popular?
Yeah.
All right. Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Scott Walker's such a douche. You know, I wanted just to quickly say my girlfriend's letter yesterday was a bit overwhelming.
Me too.
I really, you know, I wouldn't marry her, but not everybody's gay.
What? I thought why wasn't
is
I told?
Gay?
Why wasn't I told that? And why not?
Everybody gay!
No,
well, that was the gayest letter I ever read for people, two chicks that are not gay. That was...
I know. It's so funny, but, yeah, just a little bit overwhelming, and I just wanted to say to Jim, he didn't break anything nice when he made the Kim Jong-il fibromyalgia stuff. That was so great. I appreciate that.
Oh, sorry, you got a disease with so many L and R in it. It's hard to pronounce.
God. It was. He ruined this beautiful, touching letter. Your friend, who loves you so much, bought you VIP tickets for the Madison Sexy Liberal Show in April because you had been dealing with the pain of... go ahead, Jim.
Mallorca.
I hurt my tongue.
At least, you know, at least Tom Brokaw isn't saying it. I think he's rather
choked
up, so I'm just saying. But,
anyway, honey, it was very touching, and it made me cry, and I'm so happy we'll see you there in April.
Yeah, and can I just say one thing really quick? Some of the Republicans around here are so goofy that they don't even care if they rip up signatures and go to jail for it. So the signature count... Apparently, according to the ACLU, we're going to keep it elusive so that, you know, these people don't get wacky. So here's my little SodaStream pitch. I get super thirsty collecting recall Walker signatures, so a SodaStream machine would be really helpful.
Done and done. You get a
SodaStream.
Wow, a Kim Jong-il skit and Sexy Liberal tickets and a SodaStream all in one magical week.
Oh, what a magical 50th Christmas birthday.
Yay. All right, all right, honey, hang on. There we go. All right.
Wonderful.
I love it. Oh, gosh, it's wonderful.
Wonderful.
And maybe Tom Brokaw would like to say that, by the way.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Rickets.
Oh, and look, it's an unsolicited testimony.
An unsolicited testimonial.
For SodaStream, now that I'm giving one away to Stephanie and Madison, Stephen writes, Steph, how to write and tell you how much I love my new SodaStream. Huh. It was my birthday last week. Because I'm such a bastard when it comes to buying gifts, everyone just gives me money. Rather than spend my cash on hookers and blow, I decided to do the democratic thing and buy more stuff. I'm diabetic, so I don't drink sodas anymore since regular sodas have too much sugar and diet tastes like crap. The homebrew SodaStream soda is great, though. Now I pump that silver button and add the flavor, and Great Caesar's Ghost, I have soda. That's the whole reason I read this letter, because I'm...
Great Caesar's Ghost.
Who said that?
Yeah. Perry White.
Perry White. Soda.
Yeah. Superman.
Yeah.
Fresh and about a third of the sugar of regular, meaning a glucophobe like me can enjoy it with the kids if I ever let them drink it. Oh, come on. Share your SodaStream, you stingy bastard. Thank you. Yay, SodaStream, and yay, thank you, Steph, for the soda. Oh, you're welcome, Stephen.
I have another Newt Gingrich quote. This would be perfect for Tom Brokaw.
Yes, please.
Gingrich, primary mission advocate of civilization, definer of civilization, teacher of the rules of civilization, a leader of the civilizing forces. So says Newt Gingrich about Newt Gingrich, who is full.
It's a lot of elves. Okay. Josh in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show as welcome. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Luke. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to talk about the adversity facing the recall workers in Madison and throughout the state of Wisconsin. I'm actually from Holman, and it is nuts how much adversity even us people who are just signing the recalls. I signed the first weekend that they had the recalls out there. But, no, we were getting honked at. It was ridiculous how much we have to go through just to recall someone who is blatantly, you know, just tearing down our First Amendment rights.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That, keep on fighting the good fight. It is, the energy is amazing. I'm telling you, when behind the recall there. Let's go to a meet on Friday. I knew someone would know. Otto in Texas. Hi, Otto.
Hey, Mama Mooks.
Hello.
Al, what's up?
Hey.
Being a former Catholic, I looked this up once because it always confused me why I couldn't have a burger on Friday and why I was going to hell. And what I found out was there was a Pope very early on who noticed that fishermen in Italy were going broke. They weren't making enough money to survive, and so he passed this edict.
It's about money. Since when has religion ever been about money? Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Somebody in our chat was actually saying that particular Pope had a cousin or a brother who was a fish importer. It wasn't about this kind of blatant, like, blanket altruism towards, the fish guys, they're really getting hit hard. It's like, my cousin sells fish.
I didn't know that.
Italian can you get?
Yeah.
My cousin Lefty sells fish.
I got a scribe.
And I don't mean to step on John Fugelsang's toes in any way.
Yes.
That's all right. We need an ecclesiastical mook on his days off.
I'm up for mine.
Otto, do you have an answer to Jim Ward's gastrointestinal question? If you ate meat at, say, midnight on Thursday,
well,
but then it was still in your system and didn't come out till Friday.
Well, that's like the old George Carlin bit where you're on a boat at sea and you didn't take communion. But you
crossed the international date line.
Yes.
Right.
It's one of those things that you really can't know.
Well, and Carlin also had that bit about, they rescinded that a long time ago, but there's probably some guy in hell still doing time on a meat wrap.
Exactly.
You know, because there's no point where.
I picture that guy's cousin looking like Admiral Akbar because he's a fish guy.
Now that I'm flying so much for Sexy Liberal, George Carlin routines run in my head all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
Put your seat back forward. One time or a lot of times?
I could put my seat back forward,
approach.
I'd be in porno movies. Right.
Yes. All right. Crash landing. It's just you can do them in your head. Rich in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Steph. What's up? Listen, I want to talk about the king of all pimps, Newt Gingrich.
Right.
And I call him that because of his multiple affairs, his 84 ethics violations, and his money he's been taking as a lobbyist. Now, what does this tell
historian,
the hardworking, honest person in this country? You're a fool. And you're a sucker, because look at me, look what I've done, and I'm being rewarded by being the leader in the Republican Party to be the next president of the United States. What does that tell every working person in this country? This man is a pimp. That's all he is.
Well, and
Gingrich is a pimp.
Those are Rich, great points. I'm distracted by your Santa Fe accent, though.
I had to move here, you know.
For the dryness.
In Iowa, I had to come out here. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, it's.
By the way, does your cousin got a fish to sell me?
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say
he's from the outer boroughs of Santa Fe.
Probably. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably a mistake when your name sounds a lot like Grinch to start with.
Yes.
Yeah. To, as you approach the Christmas holidays, the single time of unconditional love and giving that we celebrate
in
this country.
I'm not taking your Whoberries and your Whoobies, frankly.
Start talking about poor children.
He does look like he's going to take your Whoberries and your Whoobies.
And address them as they need to clean toilets for a living. You'll notice he did not pick a job like they should help in the office and learn administrative skills.
He wouldn't, he wouldn't just take Cindy Lou Who's tree. He would make her get to work as a janitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Take the tree and get to work. She's a little slacker.
But in all honesty,
she's only two.
This Tiffany sniffing idiot.
She can stand.
Actually has the nerve, and his first suggestion for a job for poor kids is cleaning toilets.
Yeah.
This is where he believes they belong.
Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. All right, 46 minutes, that's where you find your dignity, right there in the bottom of the bowl there.
Yeah, notice he didn't say they should work for the school board, helping with administrative tax filing things, starting developing skills for, you know, management jobs and those kind of things. No,
they should learn to be slaves.
They should learn to be the low-class people that they are.
Awesome. 46 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Girls just want to ride the cane train.
Apparently play the xylophone.
Electronic xylophone.
Xylophone. Electronic xylophone.
51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Cassandra in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to piggyback off of your last caller who was talking about the silent message, I guess, that Gingrich teaches by basically being rewarded for bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And I know that we typically, the spouses are off limits, but if Mrs. Gingrich is potentially going to be the first lady of the United States, I mean, she's going to be the first mistress. I mean, she's a known adulteress, and I just don't know that that is a great message that young girls should be taught, that, yes, you too can sleep with a married man and then be the, you know, first lady of the United States.
And I don't think young girls should be taught that eyes never close. I think it's important.
A little too much Botox.
Something. She's really startled. Really. She's surprised to be anywhere, it seems like.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want another Newt Gingrich quote?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. His response to a reporter who asked what to do about the homeless a few days after the police shot a homeless man in front of the White House.
Give the park police more ammo, frankly.
Great.
Hey, I have another guest quote for you. Who said speaking of wives being off...
By the way, his points just ticked up to, you know,
that's right.
Poll points for you quoting that.
Oh, by the way, so speaking of wives being off limits, who said of Kitty Dukakis, nuts, a drug addict?
Frankly, it was Newt Gingrich, frankly.
Hey, you're not playing right. That was right.
Oh, sorry, I got it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
You're no fun anymore.
Good morning. What this frappe of stuff that we're talking about today between, you know, the rules of eating and the craziness of the Republican Party right now, it occurs to me that there is this wonderful, if you want to use that word, double standard going on of we do not want you to take care of your life. You are responsible for your own life. Yet at the same time, we want to make sure that you live your life the way we think you should live it. And if you step out of line, then we're going to take control of your life and make it miserable for you. They are creating a culture of fear, which a lot of what organized religion has done. As long as you got your populace living in a state of fear and angst and whatever, then they're going to just kind of kowtow to whatever you want until finally someone says, enough. I've had it. I don't care what the consequences are anymore.
Well, in a lot of cases, that's exactly what happens. Every time they try this, from the PMRC to the moral majority, the reflex of the public has ultimately been to throw complete caution to the wind. It's the exact opposite of what they're attempting to do. But it doesn't stop them from trying every single time. Notice no jobs bills, but everything is about social engineering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all anti-choice bills. By the way, that was my favorite sign at a protest. Hey, Republicans, the jobs aren't in my uterus.
Right. Yeah. But you know,
we make better signs.
Again, the minute you establish a rule, morality goes away because morals are a choice not based on reward or punishment, but on ethics. Mm-hmm. And the minute you take ethics out and say you're going to be punished if you do this, it ceases to be a moral choice and becomes a legal choice. And so every time they get into office, they try to eliminate the moral choice because they don't trust human beings to actually do that. And that's a religious-based...
Because they have no morals.
Right. Yeah. They're their own, the absolutely. If there weren't laws, these guys, you know, the Paul Ryans of the world, the Newt Gingriches of the world, are sociopaths, absolutely.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and find some more
sure.
of all that.
Why not?
Shall we?
Hold on, I have to put my hazmat suit on.
Okay. Put on that dog trading outfit you put on for the meet and greet.
Totally right. Yeah.
Okay.
Meet and chew.
The meat and chew on a howl like a yummy rawhide.
Yeah.
Frank Luntz on the Hannity Radio.
Being a grandfather matters to him.
Gingrich, oh yeah.
And I see in his commitment to those grandkids an attempt to address the mistakes that he acknowledges he made in his past.
Oh,
this
yes.
guy has written more books than any president except for Teddy Roosevelt. He's writing books as he's running for president.
Mm.
He writes 50-page treatises. We have never had someone so intellectually curious.
What? He's curious.
Well, okay, you just lost him the nomination, for one.
Yeah.
By saying that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the race to the bottom of dumb on a Republican primary, that's bad.
To work in
by the way, someone wrote yesterday, what is this grandfather? He can't cheat anymore, he's too. He's a grandfather. Look at him, he's not mean, he's a grandfather. And someone said, I've known a lot of people that if you're really mean, you get even meaner as you get older.
Right, exactly.
And if you're used to being awful, you get really good at it by the time you're old.
Especially if you can't get laid anymore.
Exactly.
And you think you should. It's one thing to get to the age where you put it behind you and you're just kind of like, I'm kind of over it. Which, you know, good for you if you can get to that point.
You just gave me a mental image of Newt Gingrich getting laid.
Well,
by the way, writing a lot of books is not necessarily...
The guy's had multiple affairs and he had them in the 90s. Yeah. When he still looked like he looks now. Like, he hasn't changed that much. He's gotten slightly puffier. He's got like, a slight
Shellfish. He's a little more Stay Puft.
He's more the Michelin man now.
Yeah,
he was more, he was Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, then he was, now he's gotten a little more.
But
Oh, can I just make a point? Okay, so you know what? I just sent my mom, my 88-year-old Republican mom, for Christmas. No.
Oh.
I sent one of the publishers I met with in New York when I got my book deal. Mm-hmm. They sent me every single one of Glenn Beck's books,
and I sent her
a giant box of books. Just every book that Glenn Beck has written, and there's a lot of them. It's a whole huge because she loves him.
Wow,
she loves him so much.
Well, they were going to be pulped anyways, right? The Heritage Foundation buys them. And
Merry
then,
Christmas, Mom. Man. They are.
Wait a minute.
It's a whole box full of dreck.
You're in radio. Mm-hmm. Glenn Beck is in radio.
Yes.
Can't you pull some strings to get her to him to meet her?
I've never met him.
Come on.
He's like my other sibling.
Ew.
I would love to go to the Heritage Foundation's Christmas party, not just because it'd be the most Jesus-y Christmas party that's ever possible.
The Jesus-iest.
But they would be burning Sarah Palin books in their huge... You'd literally be roasting chestnuts over Going Rogue. And Core American,
right.
Or whatever, the Bachman book.
All right. Now, we've been too chatty, and right-wing world has bled over into...
Right-wing
world?
World.
Has bled over into hour
Santa
number
Fe?
Three.
I had no
from
idea.
From the out of boroughs of Santa Fe, too.
Yo.
Hey.
It's bled over into hour three.
I accidentally took the express train and wound up in Albuquerque.
Hey! Look out. Right. Watch out.
58 minutes after the hour, back with right-wing world.
Hey!
Hump days with... Whoa!
Whoa!
House.
Oh,
freaking hell, Spock.
Yeah,
yo!
Benny.
We're back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on the
yes, it do.
And the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Vulture's Picnic, the new book by Greg Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters and one of the funniest. You should read Vulture's Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com.
Hooray! StephanieMiller.com, the website. We are wonderful. Video streaming there along with HalSparks.com, video streaming there
Absolutely.
As well. HalSparks, he's an app and a zert topping. Check
it's
out
true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a HalSparks iPhone app. There's also a 01 app for my band.
The
as
official
well.
Heavy metal band of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Absolutely.
01 ringtone?
Huh? Yeah, actually, you can get 01 ringtone.
All right. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out for all the upcoming. Art in San Francisco was at the San Francisco Sexy Liberal. Hi, Art.
Right on.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
I got a great picture of you and I. You and me at the Orpheum.
Awesome.
And we had met before on several occasions.
And thanks for making it very clear that that picture was taken at the Orpheum, because some people, when we're in groups, some people will come up and go, I have a great picture of you and I, Steph, and we really have to worry about if it's going to
sure.
ruin the tour.
Sure. We never know what pictures are going to be coming out. I think it could only help the tour, actually.
Yeah, probably.
You were getting a little side boob at least, right?
Yeah.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You were getting a little side boob in that picture, as I recall.
He lost consciousness when you said
sorry.
Side boob. Yeah, yeah, right. At any rate, so today's my 70th birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Art.
Well, thank you. As I was leaving, but I think I missed my cue, Steph. You said you were going to go to the bar, to the hotel bar. I should have asked if I could have come and stood a couple of rounds of drinks.
A missed opportunity, Art. We'll have to do it at the next sexy San Francisco Sexy Liberal.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll see
which
you there.
Which we'll have it probably occupying one of the ports.
Yes, exactly. All right, Portland up next in January, then we're going to Philly.
Bridgetown.
It goes on and on.
Philly's going to be great.
Yeah, February 4th.
I love performing in Philly. I've
never been to Philly.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's a great city.
We got stuff coming up. In fact, we're going back to New Mexico.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
It's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Come on.
What?
Thank you, Shagno. Okay. Oh, Hal, here's a question for you. I didn't realize this. The Boston show is June 5th. It's a gay pride weekend in Boston. Scott wants to know, can Hal demo the teabagging on John for this special show?
Oh, that's up to John, really.
That'd be wicked gay.
That's Hal did his time on Queer as Folk.
Yeah, I'm over quota. But, yeah. As straight guys go, I've kissed more guys than I think anybody on record who wasn't just trying to, you know, get out of prison without too many scars.
Mitch writes, Steph, dear mama, I'm preparing a care package to get you through the holidays. I intended to give you and your team these spiffy t-shirts when you were in Austin for Sexy Liberal. My wife and I had strategically placed ourselves on the third row, and as you took the floor for a bit of pre-performance meet and greet, I stepped to the aisle to get some fine American-made, grab my ass. When you suddenly pulled a woman in front of me completely out of her seat, as you wrapped your arms around her and started a slow, rhythmic grind on her thigh, I was literally shoved backwards toward my seat by half a dozen or so audience members turned instant paparazzi.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the ravenous and fanatical nature of these liberalism-starved Texans, clearly intent on snapping the once-in-a-lifetime memory that can only be shown to the kids after they graduate college, I thought better than to step between the million candle power being instantly generated by the throng of phone cameras and your impromptu and wildly enjoyable peep show. The entire show was amazing. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Sincerely hope you'll brave the elements. Return to Texas soon. Ho, ho, ho. All right, so we have some t-shirts on the way.
Brave of you rubbing your crotch on a woman's thigh. You could have a sudden reaction or something. Could be badly for you.
Yikes.
Sudden lapse of muscular coordination. Happened to anybody.
Happened to anybody.
We were in Rick Perry's Texas, and we were feeling frisky.
And now a special holiday message from Governor Rick Perry.
I'd like to take this opportunity to salute our brave fighting young men and women now serving in Salendo. We can all debate whether it was a good idea to pull out of Uzbekistan and move into a country where Obama has spent over $500 trillion. But one thing is not debatable. I do not want to live in an America where the gays can openly serve in the military, but kids in school cannot pray because of the decisions of the 8 justices of the Supreme Court, including Justice Sotomayor. If there's one thing I learned when I was sheep herding up there in Wyoming that one summer is that there can't ever be any gays in the military. America, I love you, and I love running for president, although sometimes I feel like telling this campaign, I wish I could quit you, but I can't. Keep fighting them in Salinda so we don't have to fight them over here. Have a safe and happy holiday season.
Thank you, little dumber boy. Frothy the Santorum.
See, there's only one part of that that isn't completely authentic, and that's the fact that he said holiday at the end.
Yeah,
He would say Christmas. Because I think that's the next stage.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, they're going to start pronouncing it Christmas.
Speaking of dumb presidential campaigns, Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, Cece Goldwater on the show yesterday calls to my addled brain the day I fell into the Stephanie Miller Show helper wormhole for the first time. I think the first thing I ever sent you was a campaign poster of you and Cece and the slogan, Goldwater Miller, no cooter photos that we know of. We ended up going with family name, no skills, just like W. But that was a close one of the rejected slogans. All right, Jim, I one last round of guess the quote. Who said, we must expect the Soviet system to survive for a very long time. There will be Soviet labor camps and Soviet torture chambers well into our grandchildren's lives.
Leonid Brezhnev.
No. A horrible psychic, Newt Gingrich.
He's an intellectual.
Who said of Bill Clinton's 1993 budget bill, kill jobs, lead to a recession, force people off of work, onto unemployment, and actually increase the deficit? Who said that?
Mahatma Gandhi.
No, that was really bad psychic, Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Who's he again?
Who said the problem isn't too little money in political campaigns, but not enough?
Ludwig van Beethoven.
No. Newt Gingrich.
Mm. He said that?
Mm-hmm.
He would, yeah.
Mm. Awesome.
I have an Andy Borowitz quote. Calling Newt Gingrich the intellectual of the current Republican field is like calling Moe the intellectual of the Stooges. Is,
oh, look.
Yeah.
That's true.
Frankly, I'm the historian of the Stooges.
The mean one that's, you know.
Why I oughta.
Yeah.
Why I oughta if I had a
rock. He's got the same haircut, just happened to be a different color.
Yeah.
He does have Moe's haircut.
He has the Moe haircut.
Does. All right, let's continue Right Wing World. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
I thought what was remarkable is what Newt did today. It wasn't just that he went negative. He pulled out the heavy artillery on this with his attack on Romney. I'm with the commentary that Brit Hume did earlier in the show. What kind of attack is this of one so-called a person of the right to another? What conception of capitalism do you have if you are attacking your opponent for entering what is the risk-taking of capitalism? It's the old line from Schumpeter, which is that capitalism is creative destruction. Mm. And this kind of attack is what you'd expect from a socialist.
Wow.
Newt Gingrich is a socialist.
How do you make...
I just cured my insomnia, too.
Holy smokes. How do you make paranoia boring?
Yeah.
Wow. Gingrich is
a socialist. Charles Krauthammer.
Yikes.
You know, panic. Remember, if you spell panic backwards, it's C-I-NAP.
Oh, look, it's David Asman.
Asman.
Who?
Oh, come on. Tell the story.
I was just invited to be on the show, and we think it's a trick, probably because I call him Ass Man all the time.
Yeah.
Oh. And I will be the, you know, the liberal pinata on the show. So I said I had a thing with a guy at a place.
You used the same, Trump debate bullet dot, right?
Yeah.
What show is this?
On the Fox Business Channel.
David Assman.
Oh, yeah, the Fox Business Channel, where they were debating atheism. a couple days ago.
Because that's about business.
Yeah.
The other embarrassing revelation, I've had dinner with him.
Oh.
His sister's my friend. Okay.
Mr. Trump is angry because he thinks CEOs make too much money. Mitt Romney on defense because of that $10,000 debate bet that has him looking like he has a lot of money, which he does. What's wrong with having a lot of money? What's wrong with celebrating the top 1% instead of denigrating?
Because you're the top 1% at the expense of the 99%.
Right, yeah.
It's
there you go.
It's it's fine to have money, but not when the people are starving.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're still going to be rich if you pay your taxes.
Well, yeah.
At a rate lower than they had during the Reagan years.
Jeez.
All yeah. right. Here's the, our buddy
the
Lars.
The joke is they've never had it so good, and they've never acted so persecuted.
Uh-huh.
That's the joke. Yeah. It's like it's the same mentality that goes with Christians. Like this time around during Christmas, like there was a guy who called into Mike Malloy's show, going, "Christians are the most persecuted religion in the world." Like, what are you talking about? They rudely outnumber everybody in this country, and they are trying to get their religion taught in schools at the expense of all the others, regardless of the Constitution.
And
so
let me guess,
pound sand.
Mike Malloy said,
Mike was just like, I can't talk to someone as stupid as you. You're a moron. Like, I'm trying to listen to you. I don't know why I do it. You're an idiot. Because so great.
18
we
minutes.
We love Mike.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal. Right Wing World continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sexy things, sexy liberal shows. Marty said, good morning, Steph. The show was awesome Saturday night in Fort Lauderdale. Came straight off a cruise ship that was only showing Fox for News. I was ready to jump ship, but knew I would see you guys soon. So thank you for not jumping ship.
How many...
No, that's a ship that's in an iceberg.
How many hotels I've been in? Interestingly enough, check the next time when we're touring around in each of these cities.
Yes.
Look up MSNBC on the cable box. And a lot of times I've experienced that in hotels, it will either be... It'll say it's there, but it's missing. There's nothing on the station.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up. Like, they've turned that channel
I'm
off
telling
and
you.
It goes straight.
That's what I was saying. The Sexy Liberal Show, I don't know if you've noticed, they're not even watching us anymore. They're just there to be with each other.
Yeah.
They're really, their backs are to us, and they're all talking amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And then like, I thought I was the only one.
I've literally, in Texas, I was there, and it was on, but the sound was off. Every other station worked, but the sound on MSNBC had been turned off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Right Wing World continues. Lars Larson on the Fox News.
Illegal aliens, or as we call them, undocumented Democrats, are stealing the jobs of American citizens. With 15 million people out of work, only a million of those 12 million illegals in the country work farm jobs. The rest of them work jobs that Americans are willing to do right now. Telling Arizona that they did right by merely saying they wanted to enforce the federal laws on the books is going to be a win for conservatives, because conservatives have argued for a long time that these illegals should not be in our country taking American jobs.
There goes the rest of the Hispanic vote.
Yep.
So the president said he's just going to play the Republican debates on a loop on Telemundo. That's his whole strategy.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, there's no doubt there are illegal immigrants in this country doing jobs that some Americans would want to do. The only problem is they wouldn't do them for the wage that these businesses are paying to those people, because you couldn't make a living that way. You would have to be on public assistance.
Yeah, exactly. Sean Hannity on the radio.
You know, this is what happens when people who worship at the altar of any political ideology have to face reality. They don't adjust to the reality, they simply deny it. Every fact shows you something contrary to what you're saying. But you're so locked into your ideology, you'll ignore the truth and go on television and repeat it as though somehow it's true, hoping that some percentage of the American people will buy into your lie and fairy tale.
That's a Republican strategy right there.
Wow.
No, that's just a recording of... actually just a recording of him pitching his show to Fox.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Wow. Hello. Look in the mirror.
What's your idea for your show?
Look in the mirror.
Hello, man in the mirror.
He was actually talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but I pulled that. I'm like, oh, my God, that is so Sean Hannity.
So awesome. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
Project much?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly and Alan Combs.
The government running the healthcare industry, that frightens me.
I don't want the government running that. They can't run the post office calls.
Can they run the military?
They can run the military because it's military control, not civilian.
That's government run.
It's not civilian control.
It's still the government doing it. We have a civilian government.
We have
civilian. The commander in chief's a civilian.
No, no.
The government runs the military well.
That is wrong. The Pentagon calls the shots on how the military operates.
That's the government.
The Pentagon is military people.
It's the government.
It's the government.
It's
still the government.
It's overseen by the Secretary of Defense.
And they do a pretty good
job. But the generals, the Joint Chiefs, call the shots.
They run, and they work for the government. It's a government
run
military.
They work for and the government running are two different things.
What a moron.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You are an idiot.
And, by the way, the post office is underperforming because the Republicans are trying to destroy it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's their
plan. They're sucking the money out of it.
The military, it's like a gym. It's like an improv group. They run themselves. They're just not under any sort of auspices of anything.
Yes, and? Well, if you look at how much of the budget they get, you could argue, if you look at how much of the budget...
That's the only rule is yes and.
Yes and.
For the military, just as long as you're staying with the theme of the skit, you're fine.
We'll take those billions of dollars and we'll bomb this other country.
Okay.
Yes and.
Who's with me?
In all honesty, if you look at how much of the budget the military are getting, you could almost argue that they are a private company.
Yes.
That's doing very well.
Speaking of our characters in Right Wing World, Kristen Yankton writes of Judge No Forehead. That's what we call because he has no forehead.
Judge Napolitano.
Judge Wookiee.
Yeah.
Judge No Forehead Tano.
Guys, I think Judge No Forehead is actually a werewolf or a werejudge.
Yeah. He does have more
judge.
Of that Eddie
They're
Munster
judge.
Hairline.
Their judge. Where else are you going to see that level of hirsuteness? Even his hair has hair.
Hirsuteness.
Not
hirsute. Yes. Check the tape to see if he's ever on Fox during a full noon.
Noon?
Full moon. Moon! Moon! Moon.
Full noon is the opposite of full moon.
It was a werewolf.
I think. Yeah. Right.
Werewolf.
Werewolf.
Werewolf. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We have, you
Listen
know what?
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Werewolf. Werewolf. Their castle. Why are you talking like this?
Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi. They say I was reading this morning, I can't remember if it was Time or Newsweek, where the person of the year is the protester.
Time.
Yes.
And then as one of the runner-ups, they named Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
I'm wondering if they understand the connection between Paul Ryan of all across the world are what's fueling these protests.
Well, I think that is exactly it.
It's because of ideas like Paul Ryan's.
Because his ideas are so horrifying that it drove people to the streets.
Right.
By the way, did you see Gretchen Carlson lose her over the, how can they include those thugs in Madison along with law? They're not the same. Whatever. Hilarious.
She lost her crap.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back. We're Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The lady of the evening, that star that leads you wayward, that bell that jingles your rock, that sweet, sweet nutcracker, ladies and gentlemen,
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a nutcracker, all right.
What was that from?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know, I just found it.
34 minutes after the hour. Donna in Madison, home of the ticked off honey badgers. Hello, Donna.
I apologize for my awful, fluish voice.
Oh, dear God. Take a lozenge, woman.
I've taken many, and a little brandy, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to, I appreciate your show so much. I've listened to you guys from the beginning. Thank you for all you do for us. But here, reference the recall. I wanted to comment that the young man that called in earlier had said that there was 1.5 million signatures, and it sounded as if we had them. And I just wanted to correct. I double-checked, and the Government Accountability Board, in fact, we need 1.5 million, 750,000 for Governor Walker and 750,000 for Lieutenant Governor Clayfish.
Well,
we
but they're
not
saying,
there yet.
You know, Donna, what I'm seeing here, though, someone just sent me, the board that oversees elections in Wisconsin has signed off on a plan for how it will handle reviewing what could be as many as 1.5
That's
million
right.
signatures. Right.
Right. And
yeah.
It just sounded to me when I was listening, even though my head is stuffed up, maybe I didn't hear right. The gentleman that called, it sounded to me like he was saying we had it, and we're getting there.
Yep.
We're working very hard for the recall, and we will get there.
Keep going. That's right. Keep going, Donna.
And thank you all for what what you do.
Oh, thank Absolutely. You, Flemmy McFlemerson.
Yeah.
Thanks, thanks for calling.
Heal up.
Thanks for calling.
Man.
Yeah, someone sent me a picture of the most pissed off badger I've ever seen just on the recall. It says, you have angered the badger. I don't know what the hell you did, but it's pissed.
Yeah. Did you see that Christine O'Donnell has endorsed Mitt Romney?
Oh, well, that'll turn things around.
That's a game
now.
Changer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and they announced
she's
that
she's not a witch.
They announced that she endorsed him at 10:45 at night.
Yeah.
Big news. Yeah. Big news. Breaking news.
That was just
breaking
news. Closest they could get to the witching hour. Yeah.
Sure. Almost the witching. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Here's, by the way... We have we are an island of misfit toys, us and our listeners, but this is from Kevin. Speaking of creatures. Well, that too. Yeah, despite, in addition to the pictures of badgers this morning, this is actually a posthumous official status. Hey, Steph and the Mooks. This is from Kevin in Chicago.
No.
You know Kevin.
Yes.
Stephanie the Mook says, with a heavy heart, I bring you the news of the death of Alvin, the official substance of using squirrel monkey of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, no. Despite his alcoholic lifestyle, he was partial to Michelob and peppermint schnapps, and a penchant for stealing buds from my stash and eating them. He was a happy-go-lucky little fella, full of life, a love for chronic masturbation and biting neighborhood children. He lived a full monkey life. That is a monkey after my own heart.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever part it can get its hands on, I think.
Is it possible Alvin, in death, can be known as the official alcoholic monkey of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Computer says yes.
He would be so proud. Yes, Kevin, absolutely. Yes, Dan.
You can feel free to put that on the headstone.
Yes.
My favorite. Now we need a monkey funeral.
Yes. Who doesn't?
I have those at my house almost every week.
David Bedder has to be down, face down in the pool.
Yes, exactly.
My favorite quote from the Christine O'Donnell endorsement of Mitt Romney. That's one of the things I like about him, because he's been consistent since he changed his mind.
There you go.
He's been consistent since he changed his mind.
Well, I'm about as consistent as a person could be, my friend.
Yeah, I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
Or not.
Keith in Milwaukee. Hi, Keith.
You know, it was interesting seeing Christy O'Donnell yesterday on TV. It looks like she's packing on a few pounds.
Oh, now, let's not get catty.
Yeah, well, anyhow. A little bit of breaking news for you guys.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know if you've been following this or not, but there has been a John Doe probe of Scott Walker. So if the recall doesn't get him, it looks like the feds might.
Really?
Now, I don't know if the term John Doe is used in other parts of the country, but that's what we call a secret investigation. And so they've been subpoenaing people left and right, giving special immunity because of some campaign.
Do you get the feeling the good guys are starting to win, Keith?
Well, yeah, it feels good.
Yep.
But what happened yesterday, the Journal just announced that they sent to jail the first person who wouldn't turn evidence on Scott Walker. But
Yay. But
here's the really funny part. At the end of the article, they quote, you know, they asked Walker why, you know, if he's worried about it. And he says that he is not concerned because he is following the high standards given to him by his parents. Mm. What a way to insult your parents.
Yeah. You're like, it's parents. You're like, shh. Yeah, by the way, Hal, we've been saying the president's playing a... chess and the rest of us playing good checkers for quite some time. And we were saying the healthcare stuff kicking in now.
Yep.
Jim, you were reading something that he may be, who knows, prosecuting bankers.
That'd be a great October surprise.
Oh, man.
Now the federal deficit has shrunk to less than $1 trillion. The nation's deficit will shrink to less than $1 trillion in 2012. It'll come in at $996 billion. Additionally, as a result of the super committee's failure to reach an agreement, which I think he knew was going to happen, an automatic $1.2 trillion in cuts will kick in over the next decade. So,
And unemployment is heading in the right direction.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Senator Patty Murray, by the way, on the failed super committee, said she thinks the debt crisis could have been helped if more women were in Congress. Yeah, I say yeah.
Well,
she said we need diversity in the Senate, and we need people who come to the job who really want to make a difference for their country. The more you want the practical answer to why we'd get things done, because we are multitaskers. We have to pick up kids and get dinner and, you know, help with the homework and get things done, and we don't mess around.
So we still come there into, a lot of right-wing women who we could do without.
Well, yes, we're not talking about, you know, that Ackman. Blah, blah, blah. And so we come into politics the same way. We have a task. It's hard. We make decisions, and we get things done. Mm-hmm. I love Patty Murray. I think fairly awesome. Meanwhile, Harry Reid talking about the payroll.
The Republicans seem eager to get out of town. Some have even suggested they're willing to leave before we reach a compromise on the payroll tax cut and other things. We're not going to do that.
It's like a new national holiday, Hal. We have a debt crisis at the end of every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Republicans have no interest in governing. They like winning. They like talking. They have no interest in actually doing the job of government. Like, and when they get in there,
it's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, government shutdown. It's a new holiday.
Right. They're just shocked that they have to actually accomplish anything worthwhile. Even normal, just, regular budgetary concerns. Yeah. They're just hostile to the notion of doing their job. They're like bad temps.
That's because they're led by a boner with no control of his caucus.
We've got a reasonable, responsible bill that really will help the American people, really will help create jobs. I'm glad that we are where we are, and I look forward to the Senate taking up our bill and passing it.
Oh, please.
Of course, all the jobs will be in tavern.
He sounds like he's been dipping into the eggnog a little early.
You know what? I'm just sad.
Well, first of all, so what they passed is this stupid bill with the pipeline in there that the president has already said he's going to veto the boner again.
Democrats and Republicans, both in the House and the Senate, have worked hard for the last 6 weeks to put this bill together. They've smiled at each other, they've shook hands, and it's done. And I'm hopeful that the Senate leaders will come to their senses.
And ignore their job and just pass whatever we come up with. That's the stupid part of what he's actually saying, is that we've worked, so you don't have to. Don't even bother looking
even
at it.
Just stamp it.
Trust me. Stamp it. Just pretend you're not an important part of the third branch. And
he passed that over to a Yertl.
The president and the Democratic Majority Leader, my friend Harry Reid, are now saying they'd rather shut down the government than allow this job-creating legislation to become law.
Yeah, they want to.
That's what would happen if they succeed in blocking this bipartisan funding bill from coming to the floor for a vote.
The Republican governor of Nebraska doesn't want the pipeline going through his state.
Right.
It's an environmental catastrophe.
Asshat John Thune.
The president needs to quit campaigning. He needs to get back and start governing and stop blocking the Keystone Pipeline.
By governing, he means do what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
I love anything the president says from now on, Hal, will be campaigning. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Well, you can't campaign in a campaign.
Yeah, John Thune, who represents, I guess, probably less than, one half of, maybe 4% of the populace.
Yeah.
And if everybody in his district liked him, he'd represent about 4% of the entire country, telling the president to stop campaigning and start governing.
Yes, Leslie in Long Beach.
Ask Osama bin Laden how the governing Long Beach. Gaddafi.
Hi, Leslie in Long Beach.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thanks for that, Jim. I never know when I'm on hold and you guys are playing Boehner and McConnell if that's actually them or if it's Jim.
Right.
Well, here's how you can tell, because Jim does a Mitch McConnell like Charlie Brown's teacher version behind the actual.
Yep.
Yes,
exactly. I hope I can put this all together. Earlier in the show, I think in the first hour, how you guys were talking about the lady who did the op-ed piece.
And in the LA
Times. I think you kind of tied that to Romney actually using the word choice with regard to insurance companies and what they want to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's too much to make a leap between it's okay for insurance companies to be pro-choice and all about choice, but when it comes to the life and health and well-being of a mother who might have to terminate a pregnancy, I don't see these people as actually being the party of life. They're not. They pick and choose.
Well, why should the mother have a say in the matter?
I think
she thinks she is.
I think what you're saying is love the fetus, hate the child, 44 after.
It's Randy. That's it.
Well, it's even worse than that, because women basically, the whole ruling isn't actually about the life of the baby itself, because they don't give a crap once it's born. They cut every single program.
Yeah, right.
They, Gingrich has basically become Scrooge in reverse. Like I said, it's like they gather around every year at Christmas and read A Christmas Carol backwards, because it's that's the way the story should go to them.
With
this idiot do-gooder, spends the night with three dead people and realizes realizes he should be a selfish bastard the next day. And they like, and then they all weep and go to bed.
The ghosts of his ex-wives.
Yes, I'll be doing that bit again.
They don't care about children at all. Once they're born, they don't give a crap. So this is really about women and control of women. And women are broodmares for their male rulers,
that's
essentially.
Hot.
You got a problem
with promise keeper nonsense.
Hot. Can you say that again?
Well, it's a, you know, if
45 minutes after the hour. I'm gonna practice being Hal's broodmare during the commercial break. 45 minutes after the hour, right back.
Position's taken.
I'm just saying, a ball gag is it just interrupts some of the activities.
It's hot when you say it.
That's a different kind of control entirely. It's consensual. Yes. Something Republicans hate.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Big Vegan, over 350 recipes, no meat, no dairy, all delicious, by Robin Asbel, the official cookbook author of the Stephanie Miller Show,
nice.
Packed with recipes that tempt any food lover, and included in the Veg News must-have book list for 2011, Real Food for Real People. Check it out on robinasbel.com. That's ASBELL.com. Wow, there's a great picture of my daddy and Goldwater on Andrew Sullivan's website. It is the GOP base prepared to reelect Obama? Yes, it's smelling a little 1964. Let's see. Noting this, the website says, noting the current Republican Party platform consists of positions that range from unpopular to very, very unpopular with the public as a whole. Jeffrey Toobin draws an analogy between 2012 and 1964. Quoting, let's see here. Goldwater and his aides, quote, didn't spend a lot of time worrying about electability. They didn't expect to win, and emphatically, they did not. It's true. My dad was a poker player, and he used to sometimes make the campaign play in circle a few more times while they finished their poker game, because I don't think he really thought they
would. In all honesty, I think these particular presidential candidates are ultimately going to be a smokescreen for congressional and Senate candidates. That's who they're going to be focused on. That's where all that Koch brothers money is going to go. That's where all the cash from Karl Rove's organization, it's all going to go to congressional and Senate races. Because
there's,
they know they're not going to win the presidency. These guys are idiots.
There's one more long shot, I think, for the Republican nomination, and that is Jerry Sandusky's lawyer.
Wow.
Is a big enough moron.
But he has a number you can call.
Yes.
A number you can call.
What the hell? What's his name? Joe Amendola? Amendola? Am I saying that right? Yes. He discussed the possibility that Mike McQuarrie, witness of rape, told Joe Paterno and two university administrators no one did anything except tell Sandusky to stay out of the locker room with kids. He said to anyone that believes that version of events, I suggest you dial 1-800-REALITY, which is a gay phone sex line, which I guess he did not.
Oops.
He was not aware.
Oops, since Rick Perry.
Oops, yes. Oops.
That.
He could use Rick Perry's campaign slogan, which Rick Perry won't need anymore.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's the kind of magic you hope for in a moment.
Was it
like
creepy
that
he and Jerry Sandusky kept using all these football analogies? Amendola said, this goes beyond the Penn State-Miami game in 86. This is the game of his life. Sandusky vowed to fight for a full four quarters. But is this like the child rape bowl or something? This is just I think they're playing to, like, because they're so football crazy there.
Right.
Right? Sandusky, he talked about why he let Jerry Sandusky talk, because that hasn't seemed to work out very well thus far. It seemed to make him seem creepier. He said, regardless of the awkward manner in which he did it, he needed to tell people he was not guilty of these charges. Mm. I think that as people get to know Jerry Sandusky and get to see him interact often, they'll realize Jerry Sandusky takes his time answering questions, answers with questions and pauses, and seems really, really creepy and guilty in the process.
Especially when it says things like, I'm attracted to young boys.
Yeah.
And girls. Okay.
And,
oh, that's okay then.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Fine then.
He just didn't have access to the
so
girls.
So no
locker,
one is
so.
Safe around you. Thanks for the tip.
It's just the way he
where's
talks.
Where's my elephant
That's
gun?
That's just the way he seems, really creepy and pervy. That's just let Jerry be Jerry.
It's not that he just seems drilled. If left up to his own devices, he does creepy, scary things.
Yeah.
And nobody does anything about it because people love football too much.
Yes, but football, 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 football.
Are you ready for some football? No, I'm ready to limp to an ambulance.
Barry Manilow taking a break from shows for hip repairs. Me too. That's what I'm doing over the holidays.
Yeah, I know.
After Sexy Liberal.
Oh, the clicking we could barely hear.
Barry Manilow performed his 1,000th Vegas show. He's headed to an L.A. hospital. We may be, you know, right next to each other. He's having a... He's having bursas removed in both hips. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure I have them from climbing over amplifiers and doing a teabagging demonstration with Hal for most of 2011. All right, and Lady Gaga, who, you know, she's going down. We're beating her for best tour. Got your monster ball ready. I'm going to have to pose nude for Tony Bennett now. See, she keeps trying to take my spotlight. Mm. He made a charcoal portrait of Lady Gaga. Did you see that? It's up for auction to benefit Gaga and Tony's charities. She described the incident. She said, I walked in and said, well, Tony, here we are. I dropped my robe and got into position. I felt shy. I thought, it's Tony Bennett. Why am I naked? Probably because she was born that way.
You know how many people have had that thought?
You see how I... Okay. Saw that coming. Speaking of naked, the naked gay guy from Survivor is out of prison. Richard Hatch.
All right. Yeah, I know. He friended me on Facebook.
Did he really?
Did he now?
He's a fan of Greer's Folk.
Yep. Makes sense.
Oh.
I was naked on television.
He was released.
I suppose, you know, there's some sort of camaraderie, perhaps.
Sure. He was released from state prison. He spent more than 3 years in prison for not paying taxes. That was kind of the stupidest thing. He won $1 million on television, on national television. He's like,
I didn't.
No one's going to know. I don't have to pay taxes. No one saw that.
Oh, boy.
All right. Tom Cruise wants to have parties around the world to celebrate his 50th birthday. He said, I'm going to be 50 on July 3rd. I think we'll have a big party. I'm going to have a party in every country. Don't you think some people in this economy should just hush?
Yeah.
Especially if they have a movie opening. Where people might want to just harump, cross their arms and go, I'll go see something else.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Perhaps there's an indie film where people are making, you know, doing it as a labor of love. And they could use my $8.75.
Here's another story about how the 1% stay the 1% by being really cheap. Paris Hilton upsets neighbors with a Christmas party. Story says Paris does not provide valet parking. Party guests. How cheap can you be in this quad with all the streets around her house and then all the neighbors go
there? I'm with them. Just saying. This is one area where, I could feel the pain of a 1%er. Anybody who's tried to drive through the Hollywood Hills, much less park, forget it.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Did you see LA Story?
Yeah, yes, really.
All right. You know, normally Wednesdays is Apple support day, and when I ask Hal how to operate various things on my new iPhone.
Not a problem. Got it handled.
Bogus emergency alert leads New Jersey to think the world is ending. Did you hear about this? Thousands of Verizon customers across New Jersey received a terrifying text at 12:26 from the National Emergency Alert System, an extreme alert message that led them to think the country was under attack.
Well, if you were in New Jersey and the world ended, how could you tell?
Hey!
Hey!
New Jersey!
It's destroyed. I get it. Was it the Reagan
Verizon
app?
Verizon issued an apology. This text message was not clearly identified as a test. We apologize for any inconvenience and concern this message.
Why would you even do that? Here's the thing. Your regular texts from Verizon, you could just do a poll that says, how's your service?
Yeah.
And see whether it was received by all the phones automatically to test and see if text will get there.
Yes.
Then, if the world is ending, you can send a, you know, just kiss your ass goodbye text. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, look up. Boom.
That's it for us. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook to see, get tickets for all the upcoming shows. They're all going fast. HalSparks.com for all things HalSparksian.
Yep.
Thank you, HalSparks.
Absolutely.
See you tomorrow.
See you on the Twitters, kids, at HalSparks.
All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.